You got to know what the Word of God says. You know, there's something about reading the Word of God that changes you. You ingest the Word of God by reading and meditating it, and it gives you the platform to resist the attacks of the enemy.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, April 30th, 2023. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Walking in the Light, Part 2. Our text comes to us from Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 through 14, and chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
I want us not to be a consumer church. A consumer church is a church that comes and sits down and they say, feed me, give me, do it for me. I want you to become active in your own life and see what you can give to the Lord. Some people ask the question, what is worship? Worship is giving of yourself to the Lord. People ask, why do you come to church? You come to church for what reason? You come to church to stand in His presence and to sing to Him. Some people say, I go to church because I love the ties the pastor wears. I go to church because I love the word, the way he preaches. I love this song. Wrong reason. You come to church to stand in the presence of God and you sing to Him. Amen. That's the Old Testament and New Testament. Singing with our hearts and giving of ourselves to Him. And that worship, the word worship itself means service, spills to the brothers and sisters around you. And you find ways in which you can bless them and help them. And then it moves on into the church itself, the body of Christ. And you say, how can I be a blessing here? What can I do so that you're not just consuming, you're giving? I knew there was going to be a silence. Some people say, what do you mean? You want another offering? Listen, prayer and giving are the most elemental and basic easy things to do in church. That's like going to primary school. We're talking about a rededication of your life and your talents to the Lord. Of saying, Lord, how can I be used of you? Now, I have several ways in which I can go at this, but I just want to just say that much. And we'll talk about it later on ways in which you can be more than just coming to church and consuming. There's nothing wrong with coming to church and hearing the word, but that's as half of the proposition. You are to come and sing to Him. When you come and you sing to Him, in the worship, God speaks to you. And He puts things in your heart as what you ought to do. And I want to create avenues for you to be able to do those things the Lord puts in your heart. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 1. And I like to do something going to chapter 1, verse 10 through 14. Because it speaks about this idea of who we are and where we stand as Christians. I've been trying to find some sort of a construct, some sort of construct. How do I edify? How do I construct? How do I build my life around what topic? Around which? How? So I come to church. I sing songs. I come to church once a week or whatever. But what is there to life? How do I process my new life in Jesus Christ? And so that's what we're trying to find. We're trying to find ways in which you and I can have things to do. Because let me tell you something. We're saved by grace. But the scripture says that you and I have to work out our salvation. And there has to be input from you to pursue those things that God has called us to. It doesn't come automatically. You have to pursue. You have to put your part because of one issue. Free will. God never pushes Himself on you. God never says, you must do this. He will kindly and lovingly show you what you should be doing. And then it's up to you to follow through. With His grace, with His empowerment. But you have to take control of your own walk with the Lord. So let's look at Colossians chapter 1. And for me, this is absolutely wonderful. He says, and this is Paul. It says, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Stop right there. Look at all the things. A life worthy of the Lord, please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. This is Paul speaking to you and to me this morning. Let's go to verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joy. And joy. Listen to this. He gives you the power, but for what? According to His glorious riches and might, that you may have great endurance and patience, because you need endurance and you need patience. And verse 12, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who, here is the key, who has qualified you. You've been qualified. Qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. And that's where God dwells. God is light. We're part of the kingdom of light. But look at verse 13. He says, for He has rescued us. Hello? Amen. You are all rescued people. Rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Think of that. Dominion of darkness. You were dominated by darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His Son He loves. And verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Would you give a hand clap to the Lord for what He's saying to us, to you and to me? And we're hand clapping because the glory of the Lord is here, and because God's presence is here, and because Mike just made it to church. I give up. Nothing like an entrance, my brother. But it's so true. What God has done for you and for me. So you and I are in Christ, and we've been transferred from the dominion of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. And so we have a different platform. We have a different place from which to address the world and our lives. No longer under the jurisdiction of dominion of darkness, but under the jurisdiction and dominion of the Lord, who has forgiven us all of our sins. He gives us a clean start, no matter where you come from. Your sins are forgiven. But Christianity is more than just the forgiveness of sin and a passport to heaven. Forgiveness of sins, being a Christian, means that you now have eternal life. That you and I will never die. And that we are to enjoy eternal life right now. Eternal life has been around for a long time. We're now part of that in God. We have been reborn from above. Nicodemus, chapter 3 of John. You're born of water and the Spirit. Water means the natural birth, and the Spirit means, yeah, you've been born again. Your spirit, your human spirit, has been infused with God's presence. You became alive unto God. You're no longer dead. You're no longer dead in your trespasses and sins. You've come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who has forgiven you, has moved you from the kingdom and the dominion of darkness to the dominion, what? No dominion, but to the power of the new king, which is Jesus Christ, the kingdom of light. Amen. He gives you the possibilities and actually requires that you grow in the knowledge and the grace of God, because you're no longer that, you're this. Amen. I'm not pointing to him, but you're this. I'm not pointing to her. You got to understand that there's been a shift, a monumental shift in the center of your life. Before it was the enemy and you walked in darkness, but now you are in the light and you walk with God. And with God, all things are possible. But they're not automatic. I'll prove it to you. We were doing this last week, chapter 3 of Colossians. And let me just read it from the Bible, and then we'll go to chapter verse 12 in the screen. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, since then, you're being raised with Christ, because the moment you come to Christ, his resurrection is your resurrection. There's newness of life. There's something brand new that happened to you. When you come to Christ, you're brand new. You've been raised with Christ. When Christ rose from the dead, it's like you were coming out of the grave yourself, because that is what salvation is about. And he says, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. He says, set your hearts. You must set your heart. You must set your heart. He does not do that for you. You must set your heart. You must avail yourself of the opportunity of looking to Christ and looking to him as your new guide. No longer the darkness, but Christ. And he says, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, he says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And verse 3 says, for you died. Another version says, for you are dead. We're dead to the dominion of Satan and darkness, and alive unto God. There's a new dimension. There's a new place where you can live out your life. It's an opportunity that God gives to you and to me to live in the light and not in the darkness. He shows us, you and me, that we will eventually be shown off to the universe, because it says that our life is hid in Christ. The real you is hid in Christ. It's kind of hard sometimes to get those things around your mind. But the real you is with the Lord. And he says, and when Christ, your life will appear, then you will also appear with him in glory. You are so much more than what you think you are. You're no longer under the dominion of Satan. I don't care where you come from, the dominion of Satan. He sets you free. You're in the dominion of light. You're in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, you work as agents of his great, wonderful majesty, Jesus Christ. And you carry on assignments. The way the Lord works, he works silently. You know, the devil makes a lot of noise. But God works silently, but stealth, but deadly, if I could use the word. Slowly. I'm always amazed as to me asking the Lord to do things in my life. And he seems like he takes his sweet time to do it. I want it now, Lord. That's because of my impatience, which has to be taken care of. But God is at work in all of our lives. But look, you and I have to engage this new kingdom and allow this new kingdom to take over our hearts and lives. Excuse me. Allergies keep bothering me, but I don't care. And so the dominion of darkness is trying to overrule the dominion of light. But you know, light always will triumph over darkness. Amen. And so you and I have a responsibility to walk in the light as he is in the light. Amen. It says, therefore, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. So you and I have to put it to death with God's grace. But there's things in our life that are out of whack. The dominion of darkness has done a lot of damage. But now God has given us the opportunity to do things about our lifestyle. And those who are children of the king want to live like children of the king. And so we're going to have to wrestle and have to put to death. Say, I am no longer going to do this anymore. And by God's power and grace, you will do it. But you must say, I'm going to put this away. It doesn't come automatically. You must say, I'm not going to do this anymore. You must say, Lord, help me. And Paul puts a bunch of lists here. So, you know, this is the earthly nature. This is the things that need to go. I mean, you're not being condemned by them. They are a hindrance to you walking in the kingdom of God. And it's a hindrance for you to develop your life in Jesus. You need to get rid of these things. You need to say to the Lord, Lord, take this away from me. And usually it comes through the mind, you know. The mind is a wonderful thing, but it can be also a terrible place. And when those bad thoughts come to your mind, you need to say, Lord Jesus, take this away from me. And one of the reasons that we get bad thoughts is because our minds have not been in the word of the Lord. Oh my, how we go back to it, you know. I've been challenged in my life for several months now to do something completely different. And I'm trying to go through scripture, and I am doing a lot more reflecting, and I begin to see how the word of the Lord comes into you and it becomes part of you. I'm going to say it becomes part of your body. It's in here. It's there. But you have to take time. And so look at the things you got to get rid of. And if you could do this on your own, no, you won't. But look at this. It says, put your eyes on the things above, not on the earthly things. And then 5 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. God is going to judge the world by the way they behave. But more than that, because they have rejected Jesus Christ. And they have allowed these things to creep into their lives, and they reject the word of the Lord. And he says, you used to walk these ways. Look, what a wonderful, Paul is so wonderful. Don't hide it. I knew what you did before you came to Christ. You were all of that. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry. He says, you were like that. He says, but now you must rid yourself of all such things. Amen. And then he goes on to give you another list. He says, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Have you ever been with Christians with filthy language? Well, tell them not to do that anymore. On my authority and the authority of the Word of God. See, you've got to work on those things that God has to work in you. Now, none of us are perfect here. But if you see what God is asking you to do, because you're no longer under the dominion of darkness, but you are in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of light, then you say, I want to be a true agent of God. I really want to be a Christian. I want to put my eyes on the things that are above, not the ones that are below. I got to get rid of these things. And, you know, when those things come to you, say, I'm not going to do that. I'm a child of the Lord. Lord, help me not to cuss. Silencio en la noche. Ya todo está en calma. Yeah, I know. Look at verse 9. Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with his practices. The old guy that worked here in the dominion of darkness is no longer secure, because light has come in, and life totally gives light to darkness. It overpowers it. You don't do those things. You have to say, Lord, I need to work on what is called my sanctification. I'm going to give you theological words. Don't be afraid of them. You're a theological composite anyway. You don't know it, but you are. Sanctification means the way I walk with the Lord. And what God has done for you, you prove it as you walk with the Lord. And it's not justification. Justification is how you get saved. It has nothing to do with being saved. You're already saved. You are already ready to go to heaven. You die today, you go to heaven. But between now and then, you must process God's work in your life, and he has to show itself in your body, in your lifestyle. That's what this is about. That's sanctification. One of these days, you and I are going to be perfect in the praise of the Lord when we get to heaven. In the meantime, we have to work on all those things so that we can be vessels that God can use for his glory, and we can serve as instruments for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us, Don't lie to each other. Since you have been taken off, taken your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You are being renewed in the knowledge of its creator. So it's a knowledge-based process. You got to know what the Word of God says. You know, there's something about reading the Word of God that changes you. You ingest the Word of God by reading and meditating it, and it gives you the platform to resist the attacks of the enemy. But you got to get into the Word. You have to listen to what He says. And by the way, God speaks. He speaks to your heart. I've never heard an audible voice from God, but I've sure heard Him speak to my heart. How many have heard God speak to your heart? Yeah. So it says, you have put on the new self, which is renewed in the knowledge and in the image of its creator. You become more like God. Become more like Jesus. You know, we sing, to be like Jesus. I don't know if we sing that anymore. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. Do you remember that song? All I ask to be like Him. Ah, you guys are too young to know those great truths of life. It's a wonderful song. To be like, just to be like Jesus. And if I say to you, what would Jesus look like in your life? He would say, cleansing the lepers, casting out demons, walking on water. Yeah, sure. Well, try something different. Look at what Paul says. The more you become like your Creator, the more that you become like Christ, he says, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all in all. The discrimination that we have today is the act of the world of darkness. But in God, there is no discrimination. Everybody is part of God's body. Think of that when we're prejudiced. Prejudice not just on race, but on culture. I face that more than you imagine because I'm like a hybrid to people. I look like a gringo, but I ain't one. And sometimes I confuse people. I say that with the greatest respect. I do. I'm telling you the truth. And some people have come up to me and spoken wrongly about the Mexicans or the Nicaraguans. And I'm listening to them and saying, doesn't this guy know I'm Argentinian? In Christ, you don't see that difference because you see the image of the Creator. You see the image of God because we're all are made with the image of God. And skin color doesn't mean anything. So now our text for today. Oops. So we began 2 weeks ago talking about all of this, about what happens, how you are a new person in Christ and how God works in you and how God invades you in a nice, wonderful way, waiting for you to say to Him, Lord, I want to get close to You. Lord, show me. Oh, Lord, gosh, Lord, I had so many impure thoughts last week. Lord, help me take that away from my brain. And don't kid yourself. I'm speaking to people who are just about every age. I thought in my life that the older I would get, the holier I would be. Not a chance. We all face the same problems. Young or old, temptation is there. So don't say, yeah, the young people, they got the problems with the sex. No, everybody has problems with sex. And you have to submit that to God. And there's a right and there's a wrong. I'm telling you, you know, impurity, oh Lord, lust, oh Lord, help me. And so when you begin to say to God those things, He comes to your rescue and He blots those things from your brain. And you're no longer thinking of those things which you know are not from the new man, but from the old man. And you begin to develop a brand new life in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But you have to be willing. It doesn't come naturally. You have to say, Lord, deliver me. You have to say that. You probably have to say that until the day you die. But you have to. You have to live the right life. That's, again, the word sanctification. We live correctly before the Lord. So on verse 12 through 17, let's put it up there again. And I don't care about all the scripture. And more important for you to look at the scriptures than to hear me. That's for sure. Therefore, as God's chosen people, you and I, He's already told us what we were before. We had anger. We had bad thoughts. We were unos bandidos de primera. We were really bad. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were good for nothing except for hell. But He reached us and saved us, cleansed us, forgiven us. All the sins we've done, every single thing you've done wrong, Jesus died on the cross for you. So He says, you're now a chosen people, excuse me, holy and dearly loved. In spite of who you were, you're dearly loved. He says, clothe yourself. Who's going to clothe you? You. You. Ourselves. It doesn't come by magic. It doesn't come because you're cute. It doesn't come. It comes only because you're going to do it yourself. You're going to clothe yourselves, and we talked about this last week, with compassion. Talk about the kingdom of darkness and dominion and the kingdom of light. The kingdom of light, you show compassion, not this disgruntled life. Kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Look at verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. This is how we're supposed to live. We should not be grumpy people. That belongs to the dominion of darkness. Okay, be grumpy for 20 minutes, ask God to forgive you, and live out your life in the kingdom. What I'm trying to say is that we all slip and slide, but the ideal would be for you to understand this thing should not be tolerated in your life. So you forgive. Then it says, forgive. What's the rule? As the Lord forgave you. Has the Lord ever denied forgiving you? Has He ever put any conditions? Just a repentant heart. Lord, forgive me. Because there's a conviction that sits in by the Holy Spirit and shows you that what you're doing is wrong. And so you say, Lord, forgive me. And He does. First John says that if we ask God for forgiveness, as we walk in the light, as we walk in the kingdom of His light, as we walk in the light, He forgives us and cleanses from all sin. You've got to be walking in the light to be forgiven, my brother and my sister. You have to be in that place where God is working and active. So this says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. How many have been forgiven by the Lord this morning? Also, this morning, nobody did anything wrong. Wonderful. Talking to a bunch of holy people. Let's go to verse 14 quickly before. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You know, you could have all the gifts of the Spirit, and if you have no love, it's worthless. Did you know that? You know, you can have all the faith and all the hope in the world, but the greatest of all the attributes is love, because God is love. Wow. You can love with the love of God. You can love with agape love. I love human love, but it never beats agape love. Agape love is so above everything. So, whatever virtues you have, virtues, good things in your life. What binds them together is love. Loving one another. You know, Jesus, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says to His disciples, this is how everybody's going to know you're My disciple. You're going to be casting out demons right and left. Let's say that. This is it. This is how you mark yourself as a disciple. You walk on water. He says, you're going to love one another. That's your mark. I heard this. I can't verify it. I shouldn't say something I can't verify, but I couldn't find it. But this is what someone said, and I think it's worth repeating because it adds to what love is so important. It's John that says that. That's not found in any other one of the Gospels. The fact that Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another, only in the Gospel of John. And they tell the story that John was very old, and he lived into, I think, 101, 102. It's what tradition says. He was the oldest. And they asked him for him to speak at different groups. And he would only come and say, love one another. That's all he would say. Love one another. Those were the last words of the last apostle who lived in this planet. The only thing he said was, love one another. I mean, he could have said, I was with Jesus when he turned, you know, water into wine. Yeah, I remember when he walked on water. You know, see, we go for the big, spectacular Hollywood scenes, you know. He would say, love one another. Love one another. Love one another. What holds us together is love. It's not your money. It's not your looks. It's nothing more than that you love people. Love, James says, covers a multitude of sins. Love one another. So why don't you just turn to the person next to you and say, I love you, in the love of the Lord. I'm watching to see, make sure that everybody says it, you know. Now give every dime you have in your wallet to that person who says this. That's not how you prove love. That's not how you prove love. Love is proven when you're hurt. Love is proven when things go wrong. Love is proven when you, quote, tolerate and make room for people to make mistakes. In the kingdom of God, we have to learn how to live with one another. We have to learn how to live in the light. We have to say, I cannot go to the tools of the enemy, the world of darkness and dominion, of vengeance, of filth, and bring that over to the kingdom of light, because he will not stand. But see, God is so gentle. You have free will. You have to do this willingly. I was talking about patience with God, that things don't, you know, I mean, I wish him to do it now. Quémalos. Burn them up, Lord, you know. Yeah, moments of desperation in our lives, you know, when things go wrong. But he talks about the mustard seed. And he says that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that you plant. It's very, very, very small. It takes years, but then it becomes a big, big bush, big tree where everybody dwells. Have you ever heard a tree grow? When I was young in Argentina, my grandfather had gardens, and I wanted to know how the gardens work. And I would pull up to see how the roots were going, and I would come back on, and they would die. My grandfather would just say, ¿Qué está pasando? What's going on? You know. And of course, because we had such horrific experiences, we blamed the Catholics for it. It was my grandson. Sometimes God is working in your life and say, hurry up. And we pull the plant. See, let the Lord work it in your life. He knows how to do it. He knows how to grow a tree. He knows how to resolve your problems. You bring them over to the Lord, kingdom of light, and he works it out slowly, but it grows. God doesn't brag about what he does. Well, he does other places where joy, the whole, we created the whole world, but that's another message altogether. But the kingdom of God, you have to live there. It's an extraordinary place with new rules, with new processes, with new results, with new adventures. God working in your life. You two are going to get married. You don't know what you're in for. I speak with 52 years of experience. I still don't know who my wife is. And she does know exactly who I am. That's the problem. But we need the Lord in our marriages. You're going to come moments, and you're, not just you, but you too. Oh my goodness. Anyway, everybody here, you say, oh God, help me to live with this woman you've given me. And you doubt sometimes if it was God. The kingdom of God helps you navigate through those moments in your life when you recalibrate your love for your spouse and you grow in the things of God. But you've got to live in the kingdom of God. You have to live in that place where there's transformation taking place. And you know it's not immediate or instant, but it's progressive. And God works miracles as you wait on Him to do the work. But you push forward by getting rid of all that stuff and your body to be cleansed from all the, I was going to say crappy stuff. I can't use that word. But all the stuff from the world is crap. Yeah, I said it. It's una porquería ahí. And those things want to control you. When you have God's power here to make your life, life. I have come that I may give you life and more abundantly. Amen. You have to pursue that. Let's go on. Verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Because we've been called to peace. There are many reasons why sometimes I get agitated. But the whole construct of that verse, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Another version says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. The word rule in your heart means set up a garrison, guards. Let the peace of God. Do you think God worries any day? God is having a wonderful time today. Because God is joyful. There's joy in the presence of God. God's having a ball today. He's happy. He is happy. He loves you. And He's happy that you love Him. Sometimes we have the picture of this God like that. But it's not. He's happy. He's joyful. He has abundant life. He beat the devil. He had to put up with a rebellion. One-third of the angels of heaven rebelled against God, and God won. Amen. And the devil is the adversary that comes to sabotage the work. But God has taken care of that in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the fullness of time, Christ came and died for our sins. It happened when God wanted it to happen. He's in control of history. You don't tell God what to do. God's in charge and God is happy. And it is the peace of Christ. Everything's been resolved. Everything's been settled. All accounts are taken care of. Let that peace rule your hearts. That's it. Yeah. And then he says, hey, do this because since as members of one body, you are called to peace. There's a call to peace. To live in peace. That's your culture. Culture of peace. Not just among ourselves, but in your own heart. You like to see what it says at the end of that? Say it together. And be.
Mayor parte de la iglesia son los desagradecidos.
So many people are just unthankful people, grumpy people. The Christians, they love the Lord, but they're grumpy all the time. They're not happy, they have no peace, they quarrel. It's because God is speaking to them and they know that they have to surrender those things that used to dominate their lives and they're having the struggle and so they're mad with everybody. Every time that I have been upset, I've never been upset with my wife, but I've been upset about things that I'm going on and that I'm wrestling with in my life. I just admitted that publicly. Don't hold it for me. You all know that. But you know what I'm trying to say is that sometimes, you know, you're grumpy because God's dealing with you. No se ría tanto, por favor, hermana. Híjole. I feel like being re-crucified here. Christ did that for me, not you. But be thankful for everything. Let's go to 16. This is a killer. Let the word of Christ, not the word of the street or Oprah or Fox News. What a disaster, huh? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. See, dwelling is living, inhabiting inside of you.
Hallelujah.
God's word has to be inside of you. It can't just be in this book. It's got to get inside of you. And the only way you get it inside is by going to it, reading and meditating.
Amen.
In the word of God. And it says, as you teach and admonish one another, when you have the word of God dwelling in your heart, you will be made capable to teach and admonish one another. And you know, I had exposition on that verse, but basically what it's saying to you is that the only way that you really can help somebody else is when God's word dwells in your heart. And the only way that you can correct anybody is by having the word of God in your heart. And it says, with all wisdom. And how do you correct people? Look at this. As you sing, you admonish, and you correct, and you teach as you sing. How? Sing with songs, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you, if you come to church and you don't sing, you're in trouble. When you come and you sing, you're being admonished by the words of the songs. And you're being ministered by the singing.
Amen.
Singing is not a prelude to the message. Everything is worship. Everything is valuable. Everything has its place. Singing unto the Lord, coming into his presence, hearing the word, is a complete set. Like the human body. Who are you? You're a unit. Paul talks about soul and body, soul, and spirit. But it's not like you're three in one. You're one. You're one person. And it has different capabilities, different dimensions. But it's you. It's just you. And so you need the totality of what you just said, right there. The word of God has to dwell richly in you. You have to put it in there. It has to dwell, has to live inside of you. How does that happen? By going into the word and reading. And you know, we don't ever want to fall into a legalism that if you don't read the Bible, then you're not saved. No, it has to be a willingness to get close to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's a pleasure and a joy to open the Bible and to take time. I don't know where my notes are. So let's see. Do we have one more verse? I think we have 17. Yeah. That's how I'm going to conclude. Would you all read that out loud for me? There it is. So, whatever we do, in word or deed, we do in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So there's a lot of things that you and I need to do. We cannot be just a consumer church. We must do things for the glory of God. You must go out there and do things. So in the next weeks, we'll show you things that you can do. Some of them are very practical. But they all involve you being willing to live in the kingdom of God and not in the kingdom of darkness. They all have to do with being presenting yourself, as Romans says, present yourselves, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. It's all part of it. Coming, being part of the kingdom of God. So the structure, the construct that I develop is living in the kingdom of God, living in his kingdom, living not in the kingdom of darkness, but the kingdom of God. And the church is in the kingdom of God. Amen. So we're part of the kingdom of God. Amen. And, but we have to behave as citizens of the kingdom of God. My time is completely gone. Lord, I thank you for this Sunday morning and the work of your Spirit in our hearts. I pray that you would minister to each one of us and that there would be a desire and that we would take steps towards being that Christian, that being that agent in your kingdom. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us see the light today as we have never seen it before, that we may be able to embrace you and to love you and to seek you. And when things go wrong in our lives, Lord, we pray that we will go to you and say, Lord, help me to be what I'm supposed to be. Every problem, every area of concern, Lord Jesus, we bring to you. Let us be people of God's kingdom. Let us be people of God serving our families, serving our church, and serving the world. In Jesus' name we prayed. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand together. In all I do, I will honor who? So put off the old man. And one sister said to me, I'm so glad I can get rid of my husband. No, it's not the old man. It's really true. That happened in our church. No, it gives you license to put away those things that do not belong in the kingdom of life. We'll talk more about that as we go on. This is the day that the Lord has made. Go win the world for Jesus. God bless you. You're dismissed.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our Facebook page or go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.